that many. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. Okay. Genesis chapter 20. Starting at verse 1. It says, and Abraham, now remember his name is changed from Abram to Abraham. He's a very dignified person. Okay. Lot of honor and respect. Okay. Now he journeyed from there toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And look at him. And Abraham said concerning his wife Sarah, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man. For the woman whom you have taken, she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Did he not say unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself said, so Sarah was also smart, he is my brother. And look at what Abimelech said. In the integrity of my heart and in the innocency of my hands have I done this. Interesting, isn't it? And God said unto him in a dream, yeah, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I have also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not allow you to touch her. Now, therefore, restore to the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all that are yours. Verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bore children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. This is an amazing story about I was reading through this, thinking through, and how it is possible that a person can function in the integrity of the old heart or he could be vulnerable in his life of faith. Think about this. There is a way we can function because of the life of faith God called Abraham into. He had moments of vulnerability. It is the vulnerability in the new because he was called to function by faith. Then on the other hand, it is also possible for someone to function in the integrity of the old, which could be totally rejected and disapproved by God. Is that interesting? Now we've heard what the heart of man is. The word of God says, the heart of man is very deep. It is the real essence of our lives. Where our treasure is, Matthew 6, that's where our heart will also be. Some scholars have defined heart as a seat of the emotions, intellect, and will. We've been taught in ABD the amazing definition for the heart. It is the premise for all motivational thinking, number one, isn't it? It is the premise for every mindset that would motivate us to live our life a certain way. It is a premise for motivational thinking. Number two, it is the basis for all operational behavior. We don't stumble into something. It is the basis for all operational behavior, because the heart of man is deep. And it is also the supreme communicational center where thoughts, emotions, and decisions are made. Now, it is on account of this that the Word of God says, when we got saved, God did not transform our old heart, but rather He gave us a new heart. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. And we have the choice either to live by the old heart or by the new heart. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Proverbs 4:23. On account of this, God says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Everything, every issues of your life flow from your heart, not from your hair, or not from your toe, it's from your heart. Proverbs 23 verse 26, my son, give me your brains. No, give me your heart, isn't it? Think about this. Now, Abimelech made an interesting statement. God, in the integrity, we can paraphrase it. Of course, he was unsaved that time. In the integrity of my old heart and in the innocency of my hands have I done this. See, we may see someone who is very naturally upright and honorable in all their ways. But this, naturally speaking, this natural uprightness and honor is totally and completely rejected by God. Think about this. And now, in the integrity of the old heart, there could be a measure of innocence in it. And don't make mistake about it. There could be a measure of innocence in it. In the integrity of the old heart, it could even be culturally very, very acceptable in the community. It could even benefit the society to a certain extent. It could even live by the standards of right and wrong, and fervent, sincere efforts to live by the standards of right and not to do the wrong. But the problem with the integrity of the old heart is this: it is legalistic against grace, and it gets sentimental with evil. It is legalistic against grace because it just doesn't understand forgiveness. It just doesn't understand mercy. So it becomes legalistic against grace, and it becomes sentimental against evil because it cannot discern an infection. So much for the integrity of the old heart, isn't it? Now here is Abimelech, a perfect gentleman. And guess what? You have a man of God called by grace, and he is blowing it big time. Think about this. And you and I, we all come under that category. Richard Baxter once made a statement. He said, if there is a vilest dunghill worm that has gone to heaven, that's me. He said that. I love it. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul called himself the chief of sinners. Isn't it interesting? Now, when we enter into traits of vulnerability because we are called to live by faith, and we kind of stumble here and there, which happened to Abraham in this chapter, we may come under the rebuke of the people of this world who live in the integrity of their old heart. God will expose us to the rebuke of them. And it is very interesting. We who have been called by grace to walk by, called by grace and to walk by faith before Him, when we wander off from the path of faith, we actually, as God's people, we sink way lower than the men of this world. And don't be ever, in that sense, be taken by surprise. Don't try this out, but don't ever be taken by surprise if something like that happens to us. Is that interesting? In ourselves, we are very poor, we are very feeble, we are imperfect, we are stumbling, we are weak, and we are dumb creatures. Hallelujah for that, in ourselves. And actually, this is the way the world takes knowledge of us. Think about this. Another thing I was thinking about, the vulnerability that a believer faces in the new when he is called to walk by faith, is this. Number one, man is basically need-oriented. He has a need, an unbelievable need to preserve himself. Isn't it? He thinks for a need to preserve himself. Next, he has sensory perception of circumstances and people around him. And number three, and therefore now he becomes an opportunist to secure his ends. It is a moment of vulnerability for the blood-bought Christian. He is need-oriented. His primary need is to preserve himself. He has sensory perception of circumstances and people around him. And based on the sensory perception of circumstances and people around him, he enters into what? Becoming an incredible opportunist like Jacob to secure his ends. This is what it says in Proverbs chapter 20 verse 5. It says, the counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. There's no surface disturbance. It's like something is brewing inside and it's very deep. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Now notice this. In Proverbs chapter 20 verse 12, the word of God says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. See, we have an eye gate perception and an ear gate, what we hear to our heart. So based on this, we have sensory perception of circumstances and people that are around about us, and man becomes a very incredible opportunist to secure his ends. Is it very interesting? Abraham was right there. Think about this. In verse 10, I think, yeah, this is very interesting. Abimelech is reproved by God, and Abimelech goes to Abraham and says, come here, one moment, I want to talk to you. So here is a man called by grace, and here is a very honorable man because he's doing everything that is culturally acceptable and fantastic and wonderful in the eyes of men. He says, Abimelech said to Abraham, why did you do this thing? Why did you act like this toward me? And see what Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Abraham thought, this is how he presumed, instead of trusting God completely, he thought that the fear of God, he is in the midst of a people, he has come to a place where he is in the midst of a people where there is no fear of God in that place. So he must act for himself outside of God. Fantastic. And he became a tremendous opportunist. You know, we are only as strong as we depend on God in our areas of weaknesses. In our experience, we are only as strong as we depend on God in our weaknesses. Now, which is great. Think about this. There is a measure of vulnerability now. But though all these things could be true about Abraham, me and you, know this, that we are called by grace. Isn't that amazing? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. We could degrade ourselves, but there is an amazing dignity about us. In Psalm 45 verse 9, it says, the king's daughter is among the honorable women. There is a dignity that we, even though there could be a form of moral degradation, there was a moral degradation in the life of Abraham. There was a tremendous spiritual dignity about this man because he was called by grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. And there is a big difference between how the world sees us and how God sees us. Hallelujah for that. Isn't it? God sees his people in Christ. Never outside of Christ. And the word of God says that we are without spot or blemish or wrinkle in Song of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 7. That's the way God looks at us. And we are before the Father as Christ is before the Father. and we are perfect in Christ as far as our standing goes. And guess what? Any accusation that comes against us, God does not answer that accusation based on what we have done or what people's opinions are about us. But God answers those accusations in the light of what Christ has done for us and who He has made us to be. Think about this. And because of this standing that we have in God, God is very patient with us. He can bear with us. And because of God's patience toward us, some of us, maybe it's 525 years, maybe. Forever forbearing with us, 1,000 years. And then we come to understand, oh, now I get the point. And what is the point? You should not lie concerning your wife. Ah, thank you. You know what? Because God is patient with us this way, we as God's people have the privilege of vindicating God's faithfulness in our lives. It's incredible. On the one hand, there is a kind of vulnerability that the man of God has as he steps out in his life of faith, and he sees amazingly the mercy of God upholding him in Psalm 23 verse 6 and God being patient with him. Then on the other hand, there is a possibility that a believer can function in his old heart, in the integrity of the old heart, where everything is fine and clean on the surface and well polished, but inside it is wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and the heart is deceitful above all things in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. It's very interesting. I was thinking, why did God tell Abraham not to rebuke Abimelech, but to pray for Abimelech? And I was thinking to myself, how could this be? And I was just wondering, like, you know, and you know, it's amazing. Even Abraham did not qualify for the grace that he received. So God told Abraham, you pray for Abimelech, be an intercessor. Rebuke in the wrong sense. Okay, sometimes there are times where we need to take our authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not speaking about that. Why did God in fact tell Abimelech to pray? Because, you know, Abraham to pray for, because Abraham himself, being the chief of sinners, knowing very well, he did not deserve the grace that he has received freely as a gift. And therefore he said, be an intercessor for Abimelech. Is that very interesting? But in the case with Abimelech, it was totally a different ball game altogether. In the integrity, oh, I'm such a wonderful person. In the integrity of my heart and in the innocency of my hands, guess what? Abimelech, you are, behold, a dead man. So much for your integrity and your innocence. Because anything that is of the old, God will never ever accept. But what is vulnerable of you and me, because we have chosen God and stumbling and mumbling and fumbling along the way of faith, that is something that God will put up with tremendous patience and over a period of time to really vindicate His faithfulness over our lives. And guess what? This is amazing. Abraham understood that the grace that was given to him, he did not deserve, and he was made an intercessor. But see what God did to Abimelech. God made Abimelech a debtor to the prayers of Abraham. If Abimelech's household needed to be healed, right? Because God had shut up the wombs of all the women in Abimelech's family. If the household of Abimelech needed to be healed, God made Abimelech, who had tremendous integrity, by the way, a debtor to the prayers of Abraham, who had tremendous weaknesses. Think about that. And by the way, this is God's way. This is God's way. Because of the cross, we have been introduced into a life that is in the new. And the process of maturity that we have in a life of faith because of being made a new creation is something that God will patiently endure. Not the cleanness of what is rejected by God. I can live in the integrity of the world, which is totally disapproved and totally condemned and rejected by God to the grave. Or else there could be a measure of vulnerability we have because of choosing to live by faith, and our weakness is propping up, which God is patient enough to bear with us and mature us in the process. And guess what? This is truly God's way, isn't it? So, awesome. You know, we can choose whether we... God, I don't like being exposed because of being vulnerable. But God says, I will bring you there because if you get to know me by faith, that pleases me, God says. God, but it's a lot of security for me to live polished in the integrity of the old heart and be like this Abimelech and be very innocent and culturally acceptable and not abominable to him. God says, no, I'll bring you right here in the new creation and there I'll mold you into my image and no matter what failures you have, my mercy endures unto the end for you and will never give up on you. Amen. This is who God has made us to be. We are in Christ. We have an amazing future. We have a sense of authority. And God will never give up on us because of this life in the new that He constantly welcomes us to walk by. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Many a times there is a false sense of security we can entertain as God's people because of how strong and wonderful and clean and fantastic we are, but in the old, which is totally rejected by you. But and maybe it is a form of fear, God, if I would actually make a decision for you, what might just happen? Will I not get exposed? And God says, that's okay. Because there, I'm patient with you to mature you and mold you into my image. And thank you, God, for this amazing grace that is given to us, which we never, never, never qualify for it. But it's freely given to us because you've chosen to do it for us because of your love. We thank you for who you have made us to be. And this amazing hope and assurance we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.